chance to do something the franchise has not done in 28 years.
We just have to have a great deal of balance. We know we're going to see a desperate team.
Jackson goes hard and throws it down.
A near perfect start for the Clippers.
Boys right now. We just got to stay the course.
Three-pointer. Bang! George on the pull-up, nails a three.
Oh, George rolling.
Throws it down with authority.
That's just who we are. Fight, we scrappy. The most important thing, we do it together.
That is my partner, Jalen Anthony Rose. I am David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, what do we do?
We get the people what they want.
We will get you ready for a big game four in the Eastern Conference Finals. We have an update on Ben Simmons' offseason, but we start with the Clippers down Kawhi Leonard, down Zubac. However, Paul George showed up and showed out 41 points for PG. Jalen Rose, I didn't expect the Clippers to win this game. What did you think about their performance?
First off, shout to Tyronn Lue. Him starting the game playing zone put the Phoenix Suns offensively on their heels. They couldn't get into their offensive sets. They were a little hesitant. And before you know it, the Clippers got out to a big lead. But I'm really happy for Paul George in totality. And here's why. Not only are they playing without Kawhi Leonard, they're also playing without Serge Ibaka. And yesterday they were playing without Zubac. That's three of their five starters. So now he gets an opportunity to reinvent himself in the Clippers uniform as a go-to guy that I remember calling a top 10 player when he was a member of the Indiana Pacers, playing so very well in the playoffs against LeBron James and the Heat. He's dealt with a horrific leg injury. He's been to a couple of teams, OKC. He found his game, and he became an MVP candidate. You get moved to the Clippers for all of those first-round picks, and then you struggle mightily in closeout games, and you miss seven free throws in this series, as many as you missed all season, then people are questioning, are y'all going to get bounced in a gentleman's suite? And for him to play the way he played, in particular in the second half and in the third quarter, let me give you a comparison, Jacoby, because I like to watch these guys' feet sometime when I'm at the game. And I told you earlier in the year when Kyrie Irving came to Detroit, I was staring at his feet. And it was just like he was gliding out there.
You got foot
Paul
fetish.
Paul George reminds me of a taller version of Kyrie. He really does. The way he just glides around the floor. And he got a terrific handle. He gets in and out of traffic. He still shoots the three off the bounce. It's just so smooth and so effortless when he gets going. And how about the killer instinct? 13 boards, 6 assists. I'm really happy that the Clippers have found a way to extend this series, and it was really on the back of Paul George and the way he performed in the second half in particular.
Paul George gets more than his share of criticism, and he addressed that after the game. Let's listen to PG-13.
Do you feel like, you know, sometimes people pick on you a little bit more than, say, other stars?
I do, and it's the honest truth. It's a fact, but I can't worry about that. It's comes with the job, I guess. But you know, it is what it is.
He does get an unfair amount of criticism, and it's great to see him shine in the spotlight, but he was not alone last night performing in Phoenix. He needed the help of Reggie Jackson and Boogie Cousins and Morris, and he got great contributions from the rest of the team. What did you think of the rest of the Clippers outside of Paul George?
I think to start the game, playing that zone defense gave Mook Morris a chance to run out on the left side of the floor and get Devin Booker or Mikal Bridges guarding him on the post. And he was working that action. You can't allow any good post player to take 3, 4, 5 dribbles. They're going to punish you. And if you notice something, when you watch the Clippers play, and this is why I love Ty Lue. He's not only ashamed, he's not ashamed to challenge his players. He's not ashamed to mix up the lineup. And he's not ashamed to allow them to just play complete basketball. Just think about it. You're watching post-ups by Morris. Yep. You're watching post-ups by Boogie. In an era where they play 5 around, or they play 4 around, or only pick and roll, that diversified their offense. It got Morris going. In the second quarter, Boogie scored 10 points. And how about Reggie Jackson, dog? He was out there banging out on them. He got two big-time bang-bangs. He made a couple of huge threes late. Like, he's become a guy that wasn't considered their starting point guard coming into this season. They get down 0-2 in the playoffs. And then one of my favorite irrational confidence guys, and I just love to see people now calling him and or other people that, found a way to not only be confident, but to be dominant. And I ain't disappointed like you see in that picture. But D, don't act like y'all not still trailing. I don't believe that the Clippers are going to win 3 out of 4. But however, I'm really happy for Reggie Jackson, Boogie, who I felt like he would have a big time game, Morris, and PG. I was asked this year, is Paul George a superstar? I said no. When he was in Indiana, Jacoby, I felt like he was trending toward being a superstar. Let me tell you why I said no. Because he's had some dubious distinctions happen also. He's had some of the worst field goal percentages in closeout games. He missed 2 free throws at a part of this series. So I understand why people get on him. But dog, he's trending without Kawhi. That if they're able to win this series, people are going to have to put that superstar respect back on Paul George's name.
And let's also not forget, the Clippers should probably be ahead in this series. You remember that DeAndre Ayton play and the way that there was the review that Monty Williams got to set up the thing and the whole thing that happened. Like, the Clippers are going toe-to-toe with this Suns team. However, it is going to be hard to win 2 in a row. Quick question, though. Did you see Kawhi Leonard last night? I didn't see Kawhi Leonard last night. I watched the whole game. I didn't see Kawhi Leonard anywhere last night. Did you see him?
Well, it was a role game, and in the playoffs, there are various times where players that are injured don't travel with the team. And again, don't look for Kawhi to come back and put on the cape and save the Clippers. He's not returning, in my opinion, this year. So therefore, I like the way this group is being scrappy. And let me tell you what they did to the Phoenix Suns. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
They bullied them. See, when you at the game, dog, you see people pushing off the ball. You see Patrick Beverley being an agitator. You see Patrick Beverley get that technical foul against Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people may or may not believe that that's a technical foul. But you know what is technical and foul? To mock him after he fell like that. Because he could have busted his shoulder. He could have broke his wrist. And I don't necessarily believe it was a technical foul, but that's what I mean. And how about Paul George? The way they pushed off CP3 and made that three. And Devin Booker, the way they're getting up into him. They need Devin Booker to have a signature game. Mikal Bridges, he wasn't there. Jay Crowder, our guy, he wasn't there. Shout to Cam Johnson. At least he was making shots. DeAndre Ayton, you must punish the smaller zone lineups, in particular without Zubac. I anticipate the Phoenix Suns are going to make the necessary adjustments.
Well, another team that has to make adjustments are the Atlanta Hawks. They face elimination in Game 4 in this one. Not elimination, they're down 2-1 in this series. But Jalen, without Trae Young being 100%, what do the Hawks need to do to even this series in Game 4?
You know how much we love Wu-Tang. And one of our favorite songs is Can It All Be So Simple. We looking at it right now. If Trae Young's not able to perform at an elite level, they won't win another game. And we saw what happened when he went out. They're already shorthanded without DeAndre Hunter. And Bogdanovich is returned from his knee injury. And they've gotten great play from Kevin Huerter. And our guy John Collins has done a great job of posterizing people and dunking on their head. But their engine is Trae Young. The catalyst in the pick and roll. His productivity opens up their offense. But what I would like to see them do is that right there. You remember what I just said about Marcus Morris and Boogie scoring on the post?
Yep.
Nate McMillan is also a former player. As a matter of fact, 3 of the 4 remaining coaches are former players in this Final Four. You got to find ways to get Collins on the post and allow him to work his game mid-range.
What I've seen from Giannis and Middleton in Game 3 specifically, I don't think that the Hawks have a chance in this series. Like, especially with Trae Young being hobbled, Giannis is getting whatever he wants in the first and second and third quarter, and then it's kind of like a relay race. The anchor man is Chris Middleton, and I'm fine with that if I'm Giannis. I'm not going to do the Batman and Robin thing. They are both great players, especially Giannis, the former MVP, but he gets what he wants, and when it gets to the closing moments, Chris Middleton takes him home.
One of my favorite images of this year's playoffs is Giannis stretching out like he Dr. J or Connie Hawkins on the fast break, and he dunking on Lou Williams, and Lou Williams looked like he's a fifth grader. Like, he has no chance. He has no chance. And you said it. Giannis can get whatever he likes, but I like that he's added that step back one leg jump shot to his repertoire as well. But it's all about Chris Middleton when it's time to close. And I appreciate in the fourth quarter the other day, he was guarding Danilo Gallinari. Gallo got it on the post. He bowled him Jacoby. He looked over at the ref, and Gallo shot it straight in his face. That made him mad. That made him mad. And ever since then, he was in attack mode. And whoever was in front of him, Middleton was going to give him that work. And like I told everybody, they do have a big three. Yeah, Drew Holiday didn't have a big offensive game in the previous game like he did in the first couple. But you know what he always does? He's dropping dimes, by the way. He always plays deep. He actually fights over screens. He actually makes sure that he's competitive at all in each possession. So if you're the Milwaukee Bucks, you should feel really good about your situation.
Well, one franchise that doesn't feel great about their situation are the Philadelphia 76ers. And we have an update on Ben Simmons' offseason. So much focus on the future of Ben Simmons. We will give you the update right after this. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. Coming to you live from the Seaport District of Manhattan and brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Anthony Rose. We have an update on Ben Simmons. He says that he's not going to play any national team basketball. He's going to be working on developing his game. And there are rumors that he could potentially be traded to the Portland Trail Blazers. Jalen, do you want to see Ben Simmons in a different uniform next season?
This offseason, you're going to hear Ben Simmons and, frankly, Damian Lillard name attached to a lot of teams. Whether those deals end up happening, that remains to be seen. But here's what I want to say about Ben Simmons. Playing for the national team, that's organized team activities. That's not individual improvement per se for him to concentrate solely on his game. So I support him not playing for the international squad. But here's what I want to make sure I stress. Look at this play right here. He's on the post. He's shooting with his right hand. Look at that play. He's at the free throw line, shooting with his left hand. To me, that's what got to get sorted. Is he going to shoot with his right hand, or is he going to shoot with his left hand? And then lastly, is he going to just own not shooting outside of the paint at all? Which is okay as well. Did you know that there are a lot of people in the NBA that don't attempt shots outside of the paint? But here's the difference. They don't play point guard. So what probably is going to need to happen is you take him away from being the primary ball handler if he's not going to take shots outside of the paint. But he's still a terrific performer. He still has great value. He still can do a lot of amazing things for a basketball team. These playoffs just exposed how once a player loses their confidence, it usurps their ability in a lot of ways.
That's a great point. I mean, let's not forget he is second in the Defensive Player of the Year voting. He's one of the most unstoppable players in transition along the likes of like Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's a great playmaker, a great passer. If I'm a team, I want to trade for Ben Simmons, especially when his value is low. I love Ben Simmons' potential in this league. And every single offseason, you know what we're going to see, Jalen? Him hitting threes in practice. We see it every summer. Every summer we see him hitting threes in practice, and everyone says this is going to be the year where he shoots threes.
Agreed.
And it's not going to happen. Every single summer we go through this.
I agree with you, family, but here's the thing. He and Joel Embiid occupy the same space on the floor when they're at their optimum operating ability. Like, he needs to be in the paint. So does Joel. And when your best two players don't fit seamlessly, you're going to have things happen like this. That's the true decision. Is now that we know Joel Embiid is an MVP candidate, can we move in to get somebody that's actually more compatible to play with Joel? That's really what this is all about.
I love the idea of CJ McCollum on the Sixers and Ben Simmons on the Blazers. Both of these franchises have had some playoff success but can't get over the hump, and I think it's time for a change in both those franchises, and I would love to see that deal happen. Jalen Rose, gentleman by the name of Scottie Pippen, six-time NBA champion. He's out here selling some bourbon, selling his book, and he had some very interesting things to say to Dan Patrick about Phil Jackson.
By saying a racial move, then you're calling Phil a racist.
I don't got a problem with that.
Do you think Phil was or is?
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. Jalen Rose, what do you think about Scottie Pippen confirming that he feels Phil Jackson is racist?
Well, he spent so much time around Phil Jackson. It's not for me to chastise his opinion. That's his opinion. But what I will say, in today's society, there are a couple of terms that people use incorrectly that I talk about a lot. One is hater, two is snitching, and three is racist. Like, to be honest with you, I would think that it's almost virtually impossible for Phil Jackson to be the definition of a racist based on the number of years and time that he spent around black people, slapping high fives and giving hugs and celebrating good plays and good games and having good conversations and things of that nature. So with that being said, Scotty's entitled to his opinion, clearly. But what I also want to acknowledge is Scotty's the most disrespected superstar of all time. And preach. I think he's just fed up. That's what it is. Like, you got to remember, I was a 6'7", 6'8 player too. I looked up to Scotty. I had this conversation with Scotty personally, fam, how a six-time champion who played alongside Michael Jordan never truly got the credit he deserved, because there is no Steve Kerr game-winning shot or no John Paxson game-winning shot for Scottie Pippen. It's these dubious plays like when MJ wasn't there and he decided not to go in the game, and Scotty and Tony Kukoc made the shot. And the Bill Cartwright footage of him yelling at Scotty about doing it on the sideline. But when you just go ability, one of the best lockdown defenders, a terrific point forward, a terrific teammate out on the floor. Yes, there was a lapse in judgment right there with the Tony Kukoc play. And it's infamous in NBA history. But you know what your critics are going to always do? Judge you by your worst moment. Put some respect on Scottie Pippen's name. And lastly, it doesn't also help him with the current landscape of people that are now NBA fans or social media, because a lot of times his name is trending and it ain't for stuff that he actually did. And you know what I mean? It's for stuff that people are rapping about and things of that nature. You know where I'm going. So Scottie Pippen has gotten a lot of disrespect, and I ain't mad at him for speaking his piece.
I'm not going to comment on Scottie Pippen's opinion on Phil Jackson, but you did touch on something that's very important. Scottie Pippen is one of the best players of all time, yet he still feels angry. Like, when you watch The Last Dance, he still has unresolved issues about the way that he's spoken about, the way that he's treated, and his time in Chicago. And I feel like he needs all the flowers. He needs a full garden of flowers right now while he's selling his book and his bourbon, because he deserves all of the respect from people like us that look at cameras and speak into microphones. Mr. Rose, we have some more rumors about the NBA. Could Pascal Siakam be on the move? Could the Warriors be looking to add him to the Splash Brothers? We'll break that down right after this. You are watching Jalen and Jacoby. Stay tuned. Wednesday night at 9 p.m., it is Game 6 of the Western Conference Finals. Can the Clippers keep their season alive? Tune in, ESPN, Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, we have an interesting rumor in the NBA. Could the Warriors package James Wiseman and the number 7 pick in this year's draft for Pascal Siakam of the Raptors? I don't love this idea. What do you think?
I believe in the big fella Wiseman, his potential and his skill, but it's going to take him a couple of more years to nurture it. Same with the top flight pick they're going to get this year. But a closing lineup of the Splash Brothers, Draymond Green, to go with Wiggins and champion Pascal Siakam, I really like that for the Golden State Warriors. If you're Golden State, you do this deal.
When you put it like that, I do like that lineup. That kind of reminds me of the famous death lineup that they used to win those championships with. Mr. Rose, you and I were locked in on the Clippers and Suns. However, during the commercials, I'm checking out the Stanley Cup Finals Game 1, and it was the Tampa Bay Lightning with a blowout 5-1 win over the Canadiens. Jalen Rose, could Tampa Bay be the city of champions with the Bucks and the Lightning?
Well, this is an exciting time of year to be a sports fan, and anytime you're getting 5 goals, that's extremely impressive. Stand up, Tampa Bay. It may be your turn to celebrate again.
We always say we give the people what they want. Part of giving the people what they want is doing podcast exclusive content. Mr. Rose, you were trending last week. You just made a simple comment about the Team USA roster and how you didn't believe that Kevin Love had deserved his spot on it. And that kind of blew up. You've got an update.
I do have an update. And here's what I want to make sure I acknowledge. I've been working in this multimedia space for 19 consecutive years. And like Cat Williams said, sometimes players mess up. And as I look back at what I had to say about Kevin Love's involvement with Team USA, I realized something.
What's that?
Whether he deserved to be on the team or not, the way I approached the conversation as it related to him basically being a token on the team and you using Wise and using DeAndre Ayton as an example, when Ayton probably is not going to be eligible to play this year, that was just a bad example. You know what should have happened? I should have said Julius Randle instead.
Yep.
But either way, here's what I want to make sure I do to my NBA family, but first and foremost to Kevin Love. I want to make sure I apologize. I did that on Instagram, and I also picked up the phone yesterday, shout to Richard Jefferson, and I called Kevin Love.
Oh.
And we talked on the phone about this as well. I'm not going to get into details of our conversation, but what I will say is it's all love between us. It's all respect between us. And let me tell you what I said to him. I apologize to him because I don't want to be a distraction for him going to get his gold medal. I don't want his Team USA experience to be constantly reminded about what I said about whether he deserved to be on the team or not. Now, that conversation legitimately is going to be had. I hate to tell people who want to avoid it. There are going to be people, regardless of what I say, that look down at the roster and look at what happened with the Cavs last year and feel like he did not deserve to be on the team. However, I apologize to him and I apologized to my mother and I apologize to the game, to the OGs that raised me in the game, because if that conversation is going to be had, it should not be started by me. It should be started by other pundits, possibly, or anybody that has an opinion about it, or not started at all. But as I self-reflect, I should not have been the person that started that conversation. So I apologize to Kevin Love, man to man, on the telephone, and I'm not going to get into any more details, but what I will say is we will be getting up drinking some vino soon.
Well, some tells me that the USA are still going to be favorites to win the gold. Some tells me with Kevin Love or Julius Randle or Zion or whoever, some tells me that the USA is going to be favored to win the gold, and they will likely come home with the gold medal in Tokyo.
And also, here's the thing, Jacoby. As an adult that does this job multiple times a day, you're going to get things wrong. You're going to get stats wrong. You're going to get facts wrong. Like my DeAndre Ayton in 2021, that was just a bad example.
Mm-hmm. It was just a bad example. You could have said 20 other players. You could have used 20 other players.
Yeah, but that was just a bad example.
I think your critics were focusing on those little details instead of your overarching point, which is Kevin Love probably didn't deserve, probably didn't play well enough this season to be on Team USA. There are a lot of other players that if you wanted to win a basketball game, you would pick over Kevin Love. But shout to him, not his fault. Not his fault.
And also, it reminded me of something. Every time you hear me speak about a player, a coach, an athlete, an entertainer, a multimedia personality, I'm one text away from that person. So every time it's a bad game, every time it's a controversial circumstance, I'm required to have an opinion about it. I didn't like my opinion about Kevin Love. I didn't like my opinion about Team USA's involvement with Kevin Love. So I apologize to him. I apologize to the game. And I apologize to anybody who was offended by it. I talked to him. He and I are moving on with our lives. Everybody else should do the same.
I saw he was at a dinner with Tommy, Desus, Alan Yang. They were at Lucali's, the best pizza in New York City. New York City is the best pizza in the world. Kevin Love's eating that good pizza, drinking some wine. Some tell me he wasn't worried about Jalen Anthony Rose last night. Big shout to Tommy, JJ, and everybody. We're going to move on, just like you, Mr. Rose. Cam Newton says he feeds off the haters. Feeds off the haters. And when you talk about that, you're one text away from people. You talk about people that you criticize. You were very critical of Cam Newton's play last year, Mr. Rose. How do you feel about you feeding Cam Newton's performance as he tries to win the starting job from rookie Mac Jones?
So, like Cam Newton, Jacoby, I also feed off of my critics. And I keep score with who they are. Is it men that are mad about me today? Is it women that are mad about me today? Whatever segment of the United States. And I drill down, actually, if they're actually credible or not. You know what, like, you said I was trending. You know what I did? I did this when Steph Curry's shoe came out. You remember when people was criticizing Steph Curry's shoe and they were saying that they didn't like the way it looked or whatever, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. But what I know is you can't necessarily go by Twitter and or social media to give a legitimate opinion about something that's valid or serious, because a lot of those powerful corporations and or blog sites have what's called bot accounts. So when Steph Curry's shoe was being criticized, I went and clicked on a few of those accounts. And you know what I noticed? 2 followers, 5 followers, no followers. They were just troll accounts set up, maybe by a competitor even, to create an algorithm of energy to make people believe that everybody doesn't like his shoe. And so now when you look down at your phone, you're like, oh man, you scroll like all of these people, like, oh, all these people don't like the shoe, don't like the shoe. Well, most of those, if not many of those accounts, are bot accounts. That was the same thing that just happened to me recently. I did that exact same exercise. And it wasn't a diverse audience of people who was upset at me. But many of those accounts, bot accounts. So here's what I'll say to Cam Newton. Feed off of your critics. And here's something else I'll say about critics. And you know I own this, Jacoby.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're right. And after the first couple of games last year to start the season, Cam Newton looked like he was on his way to have a stellar season. Once he caught COVID and returned, he had one of his worst, if not the worst season of his career, probably on any level, high school, college, or pro. Like Cam Newton, if you look at his physical stature, I guarantee you when he was in middle school, he probably played middle linebacker and quarterback.
Yep.
You might play running back, defensive end, and quarterback. Like, this is a big dude. You see what I'm saying? There's a reason why he's gotten the ability to not only run the ball and take a physical pounding, but become an MVP-level player as a quarterback and passer to lead a team to a Super Bowl. So Cam knows the critics are going to be there, just like I know the critics are going to be there. Are you ready for this? Just like you know. Your critics are going to be there. Newsflash, we all have critics.
Yeah.
We all have critics. And so I believe that he's going to return, have a stellar season. The Patriots spend a ton of money in free agency. Bill Belichick saw Tom Brady win the Super Bowl. I think there's going to be a focus in New England to make sure the support around Cam with the tight ends and the running game and the defense, that there's an infrastructure for him to be successful this season.
I think so, too. I have high hopes for the Patriots this year. You mentioned Cam getting COVID, which is something that's underreported when it comes to his performance. But I look to you to be a truth teller. Sometimes you could take a very complex issue and just break it down and make it simple. That's one of your innate abilities that I don't even think you practice.
Thank you,
Mr. Rose, I'm having some issues with it comes to COVID. Because sometimes I read one article that says New York City's opening up 100% starting July 1st. You know, the vaccination rates are so high. The COVID rates are so low. My friends that are doctors says they don't see COVID patients in the hospital anymore. And I feel great about it. And then I'll read another article that says the Delta variant is here. It's much more contagious. Some of the vaccines don't protect you against the Delta variant. 20% of the cases are the Delta variant. It can affect children too. And you know, I've got my children out here in the streets and I'm like, man, COVID's never going to go away. So I need you to tell me how I should feel about COVID right now as we head into July in 2021. Is it going to be around for another year, or are the vaccinations got us a good space and we could open up and not wear masks no more?
Here's what I would advise to you is continue to play defense.
Okay.
Continue to wear your seatbelt when you're driving. If you're having sex out there, continue to wear a condom. Play defense with COVID, Jacoby. There's a reason why the world stopped, the sports stopped, the businesses stopped, that we were quarantining in our homes. The pandemic is and was real. And as long as we're still required to wear masks, newsflash everybody, we're still required to wear masks. I know like the social distancing, you know, laws have kind of been lifted and or overlooked. I know many like myself who have been vaccinated are extremely confident in the fact, since I'm vaccinated, I should not be required to wear a mask. I'm still seeing people on airplanes and in airports. I was just in Phoenix 3 days ago. I was going into, I forget what the name of the drugstore is. Dude in there arguing with the lady about wearing a mask. I'm like, dog, it says right here on the front of the store that you gotta have a mask on to come in.
So people be in my bodega without masks now. And I'm just like, I don't know if we're there yet. You know, like, why not? Why not just put the mask on? Why not just put the mask on?
You shouldn't be in the bodega breathing all over the produce, dog. Not right now, dog. Put on the mask.
No, we don't need that. And also, everybody knows somebody that got vaccinated and got COVID after they were vaccinated. Everybody knows somebody that knows somebody where that happened. So continue to play defense is great advice. You always keep it simple. And especially for my kids, man, because this apparently the Delta variant can get to the kids. And if my kids get sick, man, I'm That was the only thing that kept me sane, was knowing that my kids were going to be safe. But if my kids ain't safe, then we ain't leaving the house. We ain't leaving the house.
Just continue to take the precautions that you're taking. And I am, however, encouraged. And let me say this. I am encouraged extremely that we're slowly trying to get back to a sense of normalcy where it's not just air hugs anymore, actually giving dap. It ain't just touching elbows. It's giving hugs to those that you feel like you want to. So I'm encouraged by that. But again, continue to practice safety. Continue to be defensive about COVID-19.
I'm looking at the New York City data. There was 321 new cases yesterday. That's the lowest it's been since the beginning of the pandemic. So I am encouraged, especially in New York City, where I know the vaccination rates are high. And you know what? Sometimes I'm watching these games and I forget. Like, I'm watching the look at both these series when they're in Atlanta and when they're in Phoenix. It feels very normal. We got the, you know, everybody's there. And then you look behind the benches and you're like, oh, wait, nope. No one behind the benches. That whole section is closed off. It's still not normal yet.
How about this, though? I want to make sure I give a major shout out. A major shout out.
Major shout out.
I felt during the time where there was a pause in sports, the most influential voices and solidarity amongst a union of individuals in sports happened in the WNBA. And I want to make sure I shout out that league. Here's why. It's the only one that has announced that each of its coaches and each of its players have been vaccinated.
They said 99%. They didn't say 100, but they said 99% of their participants have been vaccinated.
That's extremely impressive. Like, there's times where I can't necessarily hear what you're saying because your actions are so loud. I like the fact that they put action with things that they're passionate about, and they continue to be leaders.
Don't forget to call us at 985-80-JALEN and leave your voicemails. We always love to hear from you. We don't have time for voicemail today, but we will be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Anthony?
We're Rose. Not done. We're not done. We are not done. Got the gift of people.